Intro, this is Prompted Tech Talks. More information, not more opinions. Hard data, real-world examples, and expert perspectives on the technology topics that matter. This is part two of two. In the last episode, we went inside the black box, what large language models are, how they work, and the concepts that matter before you start comparing them. Today, we do the comparing. GPT, Claude, Gemini, the open source challengers, and what actually separates them as of Q1 2026. Segment 1. Topic Brief. If you opened a browser today and searched best AI model, you would get a different answer depending on who you asked, when you asked it, and what you were trying to do. That's not a failure of information. That's the actual state of the market. As of Q1 2026, there is no consensus winner. There are leaders in specific categories, real differences in how these systems are built and positioned, and a competitive dynamic that has compressed years of progress into months. The gap between the top frontier models has narrowed significantly. The differences that remain are real, but they're not where most people expect to find them. In the last episode, we covered what all these systems have in common. They're probability engines, trained on text, shaped by parameters, bounded by context windows, and increasingly extended by tool use protocols. If you haven't heard that episode, the concepts we use today are defined there. What this episode is about is what makes them different. The market positioning, the infrastructure bets, the use cases where one model pulls clearly ahead, and what the rise of open source alternatives means for the closed frontier labs that have dominated the conversation so far.
Segment 2, the landscape. The competitive landscape as of Q1 2026 has three tiers. At the top, three closed frontier labs with the largest models, the deepest infrastructure, and the widest deployment: OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google. These are the labs spending billions on compute, fielding models that consistently rank at the top of independent benchmarks, and building the infrastructure that most enterprise AI runs on. Below that, a growing open source tier, led by Meta's Llama family, DeepSeek out of China, and Mistral out of France. These models are publicly available, can be run on private infrastructure, and as of 2025 have closed a significant portion of the performance gap with the closed frontier. And above both, at the product layer, a new category of companies that don't build models at all. They build on top of them. Perplexity. Harvey, Cursor, OpenClaw. These are the products most people actually interact with, and understanding them tells you a lot about where differentiation actually lives. The infrastructure behind the top three labs is worth understanding because it shapes how they operate and who they partner with. OpenAI built its foundation on Microsoft's Azure cloud, with NVIDIA GPU clusters purpose-built for its workloads. The partnership behind some of the largest supercomputing deployments in history. Through 2025, that relationship evolved. OpenAI signed a $38 billion deal with AWS, ending Microsoft's cloud exclusivity and moving toward a multi-cloud model. OpenAI's compute is now spread across Azure and AWS, with Microsoft retaining IP rights through 2032. Anthropic took a different path from the start. In November 2024, it named AWS its primary training partner, a relationship backed by $8 billion in Amazon investment, including Project Rainier, a supercomputer cluster in Indiana built around 500,000 Trainium 2 chips. Alongside AWS, Anthropic also runs on Google Cloud TPUs, up to 1 million chips committed under an expanded 2025 agreement. The result is a deliberately multi-platform compute strategy spanning three chip architectures: AWS Trainium, Google TPUs, and NVIDIA GPUs. Google trains Gemini on its own TPU infrastructure, a chip family it has been developing internally for over a decade, optimized specifically for the scale and architecture of its own models. That vertical integration, owning the chips, the cloud, the data, and the distribution, is Google's structural advantage in this race.
Segment 3, Under the Hood. So what actually differentiates the models themselves? On OpenAI, its portfolio as of Q1 2026 is organized around two distinct model lines. GPT-4o handles the high-volume, broad use cases, everyday tasks, conversational AI, image understanding, coding assistance. The O series, starting with O1 and extending to O3, handles harder, multi-step reasoning problems where the model needs to work through intermediate steps before producing a final answer. Sam Altman has indicated these lines will eventually converge into a unified system that knows when to think slowly and when to respond quickly, eliminating the model selection burden from users. The vision is general-purpose AI that adapts its own reasoning depth to the task. On Anthropic, Claude's positioning is more deliberate about where it competes. Claude 3.7 Sonnet, the flagship model as of early 2026, is built around extended thinking, long-context document processing, and coding. Anthropic trains its models using constitutional AI, a technique that embeds a set of principles into the training process itself, rather than relying solely on human feedback after the fact. The practical result is a model that tends to handle complex, multi-part instructions with high fidelity, and that enterprise customers cite for reliability on sensitive or high-stakes tasks. The trade-off: Claude has historically been more conservative in creative and open-ended outputs. On Google, Gemini was built, in Pichai's words, to be multimodal from the ground up, one model with all the modalities built in. Where GPT-4o and Claude added multimodal capability to language-first architectures, Gemini was designed from the start to reason natively across text, images, video, and audio. Gemini 2.5 Pro, the flagship as of Q1 2026, competes at the top of independent quality rankings and benefits from Google's integration advantage. It is already embedded in Search, Gmail, Docs, and Android, giving it distribution at a scale no other lab can match. The open source tier deserves its own frame because it changed significantly in 2025. Meta's Llama family, Llama 3.3 as of late 2025, offers frontier competitive performance as a freely available, self-hostable model. Organizations can run it on their own infrastructure with no API costs, no content policies enforced by a vendor, and full control over fine-tuning. DeepSeek R1, released in January 2025, made a different point: that frontier-level reasoning performance might not require frontier-level training budgets. Reportedly trained at a fraction of the cost of comparable American models, R1 rattled the market assumptions that scale alone determines capability. Mistral Large out of France rounds out the tier with a model that has found particular traction in European enterprise deployments, where data sovereignty requirements make US-hosted cloud models complicated. The trade-offs for open source are real. No managed infrastructure, no automatic updates, self-managed safety and compliance, and a performance ceiling that still trails the very top closed models on the most demanding tasks. The ceiling is rising, but it hasn't closed. What makes this market unusual is how much of the real differentiation lives not in the models themselves, but in what's built on top of them. Cursor, an AI-powered code editor, reached $2 billion in annualized revenue by early 2026 with over 1 million paying users. Its defining feature is that it lets developers actively choose between models, GPT-4o, Claude 3.7 Sonnet, Gemini, switchable within the same session. Cursor is, in effect, a real-time model comparison engine, and the fact that developers pay for it regardless of which model they're running tells you something. The interface and workflow matter as much as the model underneath. Harvey AI, a legal AI platform, reached $195 million in annual recurring revenue in 2025 and an $11 billion valuation by March 2026. It runs on multiple underlying models, including Claude and OpenAI, routing tasks based on what each model does best. The legal domain expertise and workflow are Harvey's product. The models are interchangeable inputs. Perplexity operates similarly. It describes itself as an answer engine. Aravind Srinivas has called it a marriage of Wikipedia and ChatGPT, synthesizing answers from multiple sources rather than returning links. It reached 30 to 45 million monthly active users through 2025. Like Harvey, it routes across multiple models depending on the query. And OpenClaw takes a different angle entirely, a locally run open source AI agent that operates on your own machine, integrating with Gmail, GitHub, Slack, and over 50 other services. It supports Claude, GPT, and local models interchangeably. Users describe it handling tasks autonomously, clearing inboxes, managing calendars, running scripts, without any data leaving the device. What these four products have in common: none of them are locked to a single model. All of them are building on top of the infrastructure, not inside it.
Segment 4, the arena. The benchmarks tell one story. The practitioners tell a more nuanced one. On independent leaderboards like the LMS's chatbot arena, where real users run blind pairwise comparisons and rate outputs without knowing which model produced them, the rankings as of Q1 2026 show a genuinely competitive field. The gap between the top three closed frontier labs is measured in percentage points, not orders of magnitude. On coding benchmarks like CUEbench, which tests models on real GitHub issues, performance differences are more pronounced and shift with each new release cycle. The practitioner debate tends to organize around a few specific dimensions. On coding, Claude has developed a strong reputation among software engineers for instruction following fidelity, the ability to implement complex multi-step changes without drifting from the original specification. Cursor's user base, which can switch models mid-session, consistently reports reaching for Claude on longer, more complex coding tasks. GPT-4o holds its own on breadth and speed. The honest answer is that the gap depends heavily on the task and the prompt. On multimodal, Google's native architecture gives Gemini a structural edge in tasks involving mixed media, interpreting charts, analyzing images alongside text, processing video. This is not a benchmark claim, it's an architectural one. The modalities were trained together, not grafted on. On safety and reliability, Anthropic's constitutional AI approach produces a model that enterprise buyers cite as predictable on sensitive content. That predictability cuts both ways. Users who want more open-ended creative behavior sometimes find Claude more constrained than competitors. The open-source advocates have a clear position on all of this. Mark Zuckerberg wrote in July 2024, "Open source will ensure that more people around the world have access to the benefits and opportunities of AI, that power isn't concentrated in the hands of a small number of companies." Meta's argument is that the Llama family is to AI what Linux was to operating systems, a freely available foundation that over time becomes more capable, more secure, and more widely deployed than any closed alternative. The closed frontier labs dispute the safety framing, arguing that open weights mean anyone, including bad actors, can remove safeguards, fine-tune for harmful use cases, or deploy without any of the responsible use frameworks the labs have built. This debate has not been resolved by evidence, and regulators in multiple jurisdictions are actively trying to figure out what to do about it. There is also a pricing dimension worth naming. The cost of running a frontier API call has dropped dramatically. GPT-4o costs a fraction of what GPT-4 cost 2 years ago. Open source models eliminate API costs entirely for organizations with the infrastructure to self-host. The economics of which model to use are shifting under everyone's feet, and the answer in 2025 is different from the answer in 2023.
Segment 5, open questions. So where does this leave someone trying to make a decision? With real uncertainty, which is actually the honest answer. The models are converging on a narrow band of general capability while diverging on specific strengths. That convergence is good for users and bad for anyone who thought they had a durable lead. The top three closed labs can all write a professional email, explain a complex concept, and generate serviceable code. The differences that matter show up at the edges, on very long documents, on complex multi-step reasoning, on tasks that require specific domain knowledge, on environments where data sovereignty or cost structure is the binding constraint. The open source trajectory is the biggest unresolved variable. If DeepSeek R1 is a preview of what open source models can do at lower training costs, the question is how that scales. Does the efficiency gap keep closing? Or does the frontier keep moving fast enough that the closed labs maintain a meaningful lead on the hardest tasks? The product layer is growing faster than the model layer. Harvey's $11 billion valuation isn't a bet on any single model. It's a bet that domain expertise plus AI workflow beats raw model capability in the enterprise. Cursor's growth isn't a bet on GPT-4o or Claude, it's a bet on the interface. That pattern, value accruing to the application layer, not the model layer, may be the defining dynamic of the next few years. And then there's the question of what happens when these models get genuinely agentic at scale. OpenClaw running locally on your machine, accessing your files, sending your emails, executing scripts, that's a different trust relationship than a chatbot answering questions. The same question raised in the last episode applies here in sharper form. As these systems move from generating text to taking actions, who sets the boundaries, and who's responsible when something goes outside them? The map in this space gets redrawn every few months. The models available today will not be the models available when you're listening to this. What won't change as fast is the structure of the problem. Different architectures, different training philosophies, different infrastructure bets, and a product layer that is increasingly indifferent to which model is underneath. Which raises a question that doesn't have a clean answer yet. If the models are converging and the interfaces are what users actually experience, does it still matter which model wins? Outro. The model landscape as of Q1 2026 is competitive, fast-moving, and genuinely unsettled. OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google are all fielding capable frontier models with real differences in architecture and positioning. The open-source tier is closing the gap. And the most valuable companies in the space may be the ones building workflows on top of the models, not the models themselves. Three things to take away. One, the benchmarks are real but narrow. The model that leads on a coding leaderboard may not lead on your specific task, and the rankings shift with every release cycle. Two, the infrastructure partnerships, OpenAI's multi-cloud pivot, Anthropic's three-chip strategy, Google's TPU vertical integration, are not just technical decisions. They shape cost structure, reliability, and long-term competitive position. Three, the product layer is where most of the value is being built right now. Harvey, Cursor, Perplexity, OpenClaw. None of them are betting on a single model. They're betting on what you build around it. That's it for the two-part series on large language models. Thanks for listening to Prompted Tech Talks.